Hello.
Hello.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 89 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, February the 29th. It's Happy Leap Day, one and all. And joining me, as always, is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney Pop people. Hello, Adam, and a lovely Monday it is. I'm not playing this game anymore.
You keep releasing it on a Tuesday. Well, yeah. We have this conversation at the beginning of every show. And hello, hello, Sensible Kez.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Pop people.
And it's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is. Happy Leap Day, everyone.
See? Nah, she plays the game. Only because she's afraid we'll kick her off if she doesn't.
Exactly.
There you go. How are we all? Have we had a lovely couple of weeks?
Good, thanks.
No, I've been ill.
You've been ill? Have you? Have you been poorly?
I have been very poor.
What's wrong, Jos?
I just don't want to go into it now. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, wait, is it that embarrassing thing again?
Yeah, you'll see it on Channel 4.
Yeah. Embarrassing Bodies. Just got an entire episode just there.
Dedicated to me. In widescreen, in HD.
In widescreen, in HD. I love it. Brilliant. Okay. We'll move on from there, I think, before we carry on. Now, before we move on to the rest of the show, we'll explain what's sort of happening with this show, because we put a survey out about a week and a half ago about the show and about what people wanted to see and all those sort of elements and things like that. And there were people who were saying they were missing this and they were missing that and they were missing the other. So we decided that we're bringing a load of stuff back. So today you're going to hear our Disney Pod person. We're going to ring somebody, be our Disney Pod person. You're also going to hear a segment, I say we've stolen, but it's my segment anyway, from a different show. We used to do on Destination Disney the Red Box Conversation, where we used to phone one of the red phone boxes in Epcot in the UK Pavilion, and we used to talk to whoever answered the phone, and we used to get all sorts of strange ones. But this one, we've got a really good one, I think. So we've sort of, I wouldn't say stolen, we've transferred Redbox over to Disney Brits. You'll be hearing that today. And after we sort of gave Around the World in 80 Segments a bit of a rest, because it became that we were doing it every show and the show was all becoming the same each time. But we brought back Around the World in 80 Segments. We're going to be looking at the Land Pavilion today in Epcot, because that's where we left it. And we've got some news and rumours as well. So we've got a very busy show. But before We move on through that. We did some Vinylmation stuff on the last show. We had some really positive feedback from people because they really enjoyed all the Vinylmation bits and pieces. And and my wife's just come in to look for the phone. There we go. That's very professional, isn't it? All right, clear off. Can I have a cup of coffee? Right, anyway. We were talking about UK Vinylmation and what it was all about. And this week, well, last week, the Vinylmation Tune stuff came out and sold out online within the day and disappeared from a lot of stores within the day. And there seems to be very, very little Vinylmation online. There seems to be one 3-inch UK Vinylmation and some 9-inch on there, and that is pretty much it. We've got no Have a Laugh, no nothing. So one of the questions, and one of the, I've sort of put a blog post up about, is Disney Vinylmation in the UK dead or alive? What's happening? Is it coming or isn't it? So, Juz, you've been sort of following this as well as I have. What's your impression? Do you think this is the end of UK Vinylmation, or do you think we've got more to come?
I really couldn't tell you, mate. It's half-heartedly done. I've never been impressed with what they've tried to do over here compared to the States. You looked at the 25% day off in the States last week. Was it last week?
It was last week, yeah.
And the range they had is unbelievable. They had a 9-inch limited edition Barnstormer one, which was reduced and then had 25% off. Why bother doing that? If it's limited edition and it's not selling in the States, ship them over to the UK and they will sell over here.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. I don't understand what. And I think this is going to be shown again with some news we got later on about Disney and the US side of things. Look, bring them across here. I think your best bet with the UK is make them all open box. put them on the shelves because no one seems to be promoting or getting what's happening with the closed box. We've got Craig Lucas, who goes into Liverpool One and has a conversation every week with a cast member who then says, either I don't know what you're talking about, or I haven't got a clue when they're coming in. And you think, nah, it's, you're just fanning around here, getting annoyed with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's getting a little bit silly with the information we've got on. But I've got some news we'll give you in a minute. Kez, what's sort of your take on this?
I think it's getting pretty ridiculous now, because every time I've been to London the last couple of weekends, and my mum's been to various other ones like Bromley and Brighton, and most of the time the cast members don't even know what we're talking about. And we were in the Oxford Street store, so it's supposed to be their flagship store, on Saturday. And they had a few British flags left and one London bus hidden in the stockroom. And that was it. And they said, we didn't know when we're going to get any more in at all.
Okay.
And I think it's a real shame, because there's definitely a market. And if anything proves it, because they were saying in the Oxford Street store that people are coming in on day of release and just buying the place out. So there's obviously a massive market for it. And the people who are doing their numbers, the stock taking, etc., obviously not predicting it correctly.
Well, I do have a bit of news, because I've been emailing, or emailed some people who are in the know at Disney to see what sort of thing we got back. And I got an email today, and I'll read it to you. It says, hi, Adam, thanks for your email. Basically, I sent an email saying, look, what's going on here? We've got no Funimation here. We haven't got this. People are just getting a little bit frustrated because we don't know what's coming soon, and there's a lack of information, and it means people are going to be going back to eBay and buying them. And basically, we're giving money to other people rather than giving it to Disney, who are the people who are obviously wanting to sell them in the first place. So she said, hi, Adam, thanks for your email. I don't have much information to give you at the moment, but I can assure you that we do have plans for more Vinylmation releases in the UK. Our product team are working hard on these plans at the moment, and we will shortly begin a survey for our collectors to give us their feedback. Look out for the link on Facebook and Twitter later this week.
Interesting.
Why do a survey? Why not just stock the shops with Vinylmation and sell them, rather than fanning around with two or three sat in your online store?
Is this sort of, I don't know whether this is part of Disney management higher up?
Yeah, it's really complicated, isn't it? Hang on, we bought some new ones out and they sold straight away. Should we get some more?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Let's do a survey.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's just still very silly, isn't it? No. There we go. I don't really know what to say. We've spoken so much about Vinylmation and about what's going on. I don't really know anything else to say anyway. Right, so let's do a pod person, shall we? As we said, we used to do pod person. We used to ring somebody up. We used to find out a little bit more about information about them and all that sort of stuff. So let's give somebody a ring.
Hello.
There we go. Right, so let's ring our pod person and see if our pod person answers. Or is it just going to ring out?
Hello.
Hello, is that Kirsty Shaw?
Hello.
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 Is that Kirsty?
It is indeed.
Hello, this is the Disney Brit Podcast.
Hello.
You are our pod person for this episode.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
So you're, as they say, you are live on air. Please do not swear.
I won't.
we decided to bring on a pod person because we haven't done it for so long, and we got lots of people who wanted to come on, but we thought we'd say hello to you. So Jess is here.
Hello.
Hi, Jess.
And Kez is here.
Hi.
Hiya.
So we just thought we'd find out a little bit more about you. So you are Kirsty Shaw. You are from?
That's right. I'm from the West Midlands, Warsaw.
Oh, you're near me. Well, nearish. And how old are you?
I'm
21. See, she's like half
my
Jesse's age. actually, about a third of Jesse's age, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a big Disney fan?
I am a huge Disney fan, that's right.
And you're coming to Mouse Meets?
I am. I'm very excited to coming to Mouse Meets. I just can't wait. I'm counting down the days to
May. you're counting down the days, so we better start planning it. now, look, we need to find out a little bit about you and your Disney experiences, because that's what we do on this. So tell us, what was the last park you visited?
It was Florida in October 2010.
Okay.
It was my first time abroad. It was my first holiday to any Disney.
Oh, right. So your very first. Excellent.
Yeah, I was too scared at all to get on an airplane. and then the thought of the castle made me finally put my courage up and get onto the airplane.
Well, that makes it a little bit different then, because a lot of people have been so many times, they find it difficult to sort of give their favourites. But if you've only had one experience, what's your favourite Disney park?
Magic Kingdom. Walking down Main Street and seeing the castle. It's just something that's going to stay in my head forever.
I agree with you. And your favourite Disney attraction?
Probably Space Mountain.
Ooh.
I think.
That's a new one. Okay. Yeah. And did you stay in a Disney hotel?
I didn't. We stayed on iDrive because we wanted to get the other side of Florida which we absolutely loved.
I will ask you, do you have a favourite Disney resort even though you've not stayed in any? It's a difficult question, I know.
I love the Floridian Hotel. We went through that. And I just thought it was amazing.
Ah, Jess's favourite.
The Contemporary Resort as well, yeah. The Contemporary Resort as well is just beautiful.
Another favourite.
Another favourite of Jess's. Brilliant, just going well. And finally, favourite Disney character?
Oh, that's easy, that's Brie from Winnie the Pooh. Something that I've always had since I've been about 3 or 4. And I've just loved him ever since. And there's Tinkerbell and Stitch as well.
Excellent.
So there's quite a few.
Well, thank you for coming on, Kirsty. We shall leave you to the rest of your evening and we shall get on with the rest of the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, there's Kirsty, bless her. Look, she's very excited and it's going to be good. She's coming to Mouse Meet, so we're going to see her. That's really cool. Okay. Let's do some news and rumours before we just completely run out of time. So here is this week's Disney Brit news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Kez, start us off. There's some more flower and garden stuff coming to Epcot, I believe.
Yep, there is now the official guide that's been released and the map telling you where everything is and what's going on. It's going to begin the 7th of March this year. Some really interesting things, like new things that they've put in. There's one, Haiti Garden of Many Colours. It's discover the experience, the rich heritage of Haitian art, culture and refreshments both day and night. This marks the first night garden at Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. Kids of all ages can participate and show off their creativity by colouring their very own Haitian tap-tap. Sounds quite interesting.
I love the fact that we found somebody else who also can't pronounce words. This is brilliant.
Good, isn't it?
I love it. I should have given this one to Juz. This would have been funny.
Oh, well. And as well as there's going to be the usual topiary displays of all the Disney characters, Pixie Hollow Fairy Gardens making a return. It also details the talks that are going on and where they're going to be in the times, etc.
But that's all downloadable from the Disney website, isn't it?
Yep.
And if you can't find it, you can go to disneybrit.com and all the stuff is there and the link and everything for you to download. Don't think there's much to say. Juz hasn't done Flower and Garden, have you? I haven't done it.
Oh, I haven't.
So there we go. We can't even give you any hints and tips about going. Just don't go if you've got hay fever. That's probably about it. Right, Juz, you were saying we were going to have a moan about Disney and talk about grumpy news. We have to give grumpy news to Juz. So, Mobile Magic.
No, this isn't grumpy news. We just need to have two separate things. So, first of all, for our USA listeners, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Disney have finally announced their Mobile Magic app for the iPhone, iPad as well, of course, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's now ready to go down and download free from iTunes. It has everything. It's got 100% behind the scenes. There's videos on it. There's a Pirates game to test your knowledge. Literally, this is a mega full app. It covers all the parks, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah, and the three Disneyland resort guides as well.
Yeah.
So you've got everything there. You've got official park and attraction information popping up there. It's all GPS-enabled, character finding, dining guide and reservations. You can do everything. This has got to be the state-of-the-art app from Disney, including trivia games, all through Verizon. Download this now. There's no reason not to do it.
But on the negative side...
If you live in the UK, tough, you can't access any of this.
There's no point, it's tough.
So you might as well put this next to your Universal app that you couldn't download or do anything with as well.
Oh, that's true.
What they seem to forget is, yes, I'm not there, but yes, they have millions of fans over here who might actually just like to have the app and have the stuff which they can actually do a bit of trivia. There's no reason they can't do that. There's no reason they can't look at the videos and stuff like that. They would lose out on the GPS. That could either be picked up on a data plan that goes across that, or Verizon could sell in SIMs at the airport to actually enable that somehow for you to do that. But no, I mean, once again, I think you've made some comparison. If it was paid for, they'd actually charge for, you know, if it was a paid one, they'd release it to the UK. I would love to have this just on the iPod or iPad.
Just to sit at home like a geek and just check it out.
It's like, just sit around and see it. And they could send stuff to the UK audience who've got it and go, oh, by the way, we've got extra, you know, Disney dining plan coming to you UK visitors, which might be interested next year. They could use the push technology and push a lot of things down to regional. So they could have a European push across, they could have a States push across with different bonuses, etc. Like, oh, by the way, there's one Vinyl Nation in Liverpool one if you want to go and get it.
No, because Craig's already there. You're right, and this is the annoying thing, you know, where's my water? Which, if you haven't played yet,
it's brilliant.
It's probably next to
his game in the world. I didn't get it, and I got it. I just sort of like, no, it's not going to be as good as Angry Birds, but it is seriously addictive. Have you played it yet, Jez?
I don't play games.
You've got to play Where's My Water. It's properly
addictive. It is the best. It's massively addictive.
But it's 69p. It's not free.
Jeez, where am I going to get that kind of money from?
The car's app mates, they're over here. But, again, you have to pay for the car, although the app's free. The Disney digital books, all of those sort of things that you can get, but you have to pay for. But, yeah, an app that's completely free is not going to make them any money. We don't get it over here, and I think it's a real shame because, you know, I'd love to be able to sit at home and just check what the wait time is for this and that. The Lines app from toyandplans.com, that's available online. That's not a problem. You can get hold of that. But I just want Disney to bring this out. Coincidentally, it's not just us. When I put the post up, my friend Andrea, who we met on our Disney cruise, she tweeted to me that it's also not available in Canada either. So
I can understand that. That's Canadian.
That's Canadians for you. Yeah. No, I just find that kind of strange as well. That the Canadians don't get it either, and they're obviously within the same sort of continent area. But that seems weird that they haven't got it. It's literally just the USA. And my big problem with this is that it gives a distinct advantage over for US visitors over everybody else, because they can book dining very, very easily while they're walking around the parks. They can find out where character meet and greets are. They can find out the wait times for any attraction while we're still wandering around the park trying to work out where to go next. They can find out fast pass availability, all of those sort of things. And they're things that we can't get hold of. And that kind of is my annoyance with it. Not that it's not available, etc., just the fact that it kind of gives them, I think, the advantage in that sense. And, you know, we've had some people put comments about, you know, why would you need it anyway? It's going to cost you a small fortune in data roaming. But I think about some people who have a mobile phone that is a company mobile phone, and they use it when they go out to the US. I think Craig's a perfect example. He uses his phone while he's out there because he uses it for business, but he also uses it for internet as well. So he can post pictures and stuff like that. It'd be perfect for him to be able to use it. Plus, if you're in a hotel where you've got Wi-Fi, you can use the app before you go out. Let's say you're thinking about going to the Magic Kingdom for the day, and you go and look on the app and it tells you that every single attraction is 2 hour plus wait, but if you go over to the Animal Kingdom then you've only got a 30 minute wait for Expedition Everest, it might actually sway your decision about where you're going to go to. And I think that's kind of a shame that we're not getting that either.
But that part of it is only just, it's a small part of an app, isn't it?
What
we're missing out here is the fact that, you know, the games they put on it or whatever could have virtual points, and virtual points could actually amount to a 10% voucher that's a barcode that's downloaded to your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch. You know, they have an ability here to know, A, what region you're in, and actually push notifications direct to you on any device, an Apple device, to actually encourage you to go back to Disney. Mm. So there's got something there that can pull you in, yet they choose to actually, once again, probably pamper to people who probably are the staple of their business, you know, and they should perhaps be thinking about how they expansion. I mean, does it work in Brazil, which I think is now their highest international visitor?
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't work there, you go, hang on, you're starting to isolate your international visitor, which is one of your outside cores. We're the ones who probably bring in more cash per head than the stateside visitor.
And also, you know, if we're talking about this RFID technology that's coming over and they're thinking about doing things like that with it, is that something they're going to be able to do through the mobile phone? Is that something they're going to be able to incorporate into mobile magic? And that, again, puts us even further behind if that's something that does, in fact, begin to happen. It's all ifs and buts, obviously, but, you know, it's something that, when I saw it come up on the Disney Parks board, I thought, brilliant! And then I went to the iTunes store and it went, not for you, my friend.
So. Well, it's like the flip side as well is people shouldn't be reliant on, you know, 3G technology. You know, Disney has the ability, because it's a localized area, to Wi-Fi the whole lot of costs. So you're not actually using anyone's data plan. You're saying any device which has any smartphone that has Wi-Fi ability, no matter where you come across in the world, can attach to our and get messages through our Wi-Fi side of it. Yeah. You know, 3G to a certain degree is dead technology. By the way, we're putting up Wi-Fi hubs and hotspots around the country here alone. The coverage is becoming massive.
Yeah, because Disney put in a load of Wi-Fi spots all around their moderate resorts.
They have
now as well. Yeah. So there really is no reason, and they're definitely missing a trick with this one.
Right, well, anyway, if you're in the US, you can get hold of this. If you're in the UK, you've just wasted 15 minutes, listeners, to us rant about mobile magic. Let's move on to a special event coming up at Disney this week. And if you're listening to this on the Tuesday, great. If you're listening to it on the Wednesday, then you might be a bit late because you should be at the resort. But it's to tell you all the information about the One More Disney Day that's coming on that leap year Wednesday. Leap day year, whatever you want.
Hang on a second. Yeah. This is meant to be Wednesday now, but you're now saying if they listen to it yesterday, then they'll be fine, but listen to the day that you're telling us it is today, then you're too late.
Okay, you've just confused me a lot.
You're playing with time here, willy
nilly. I am Doctor Who.
Not crossing my stream with yours, that's for sure.
No, that's Ghostbusters. It's Ghostbusters when it's dangerous to cross streams. You're getting confused. Right, talking about this 29th, and so let's tell you what's going on. You've got, I'll give you the transport, the dining, all that sort of stuff, so you know everything that's happening. Even if you're not there, you'll know where you could have been. You're listening to that. That makes sense, doesn't it?
This is what you could have won.
This is what you could have won, yeah. Transportation Ticket Centre is going to be open 24 hours. We're not sure the timings of the trams and whether the boats are going to be running, but most of the monorails will be running throughout those 24 hours, so let you know what's happening with that. If you're arriving from 5 a.m, then you'll be able to jump on the express monorail. That's running 5 a.m. to 1:30 a.m. on the Wednesday, and then reopening 8:30 a.m. till 10 p.m. on the Thursday, with the resort monorail running at 5 a.m. Wednesday to 10 p.m. Thursday, and the Epcot monorail 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday. So you've got two options there, the resort monorail obviously being a slightly longer route, but you're always going to be able to get to the park, no problems whatsoever. Dining, Casey's Corner is going to open at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, and it stays open until 6 a.m. on the Thursday. Columbia Harbour House is 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday. Cosmic Rays is 10 a.m. Wednesday to 6 a.m. Thursday. Pecos Bills opens at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, closes at 2 a.m. on Thursday. You've got Pinocchio Village House, 10:30 till 10 on Wednesday. You've got Tortuga Tavern, 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Wednesday, and then the Plaza Restaurant is open from 6 a.m. Wednesday to 3 a.m. on Thursday. Now, the Lunching Pad, Main Street Bakery, Sleepy Hollow, Westwood Ho and Cosmic Rays will also be open between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. for breakfast, so you can go and enjoy. How weird would that be to be sitting watching Cosmic Ray while eating your breakfast? That'd be a little bit different. Attractions. Now, the majority of the attractions are going to be open 24 hours. Some will have to close for maintenance and things like that, but there are a few that won't be open for 24 hours. 10 a.m. Wednesday to 6 a.m. Thursday will be Country Bear Jamboree, and then Haunted Mansion is going to be open from 6 a.m. Wednesday until 5 a.m. Thursday. It's a Small World is 6 a.m. Wednesday to 4 a.m. Thursday. Liberty Square River Boats just going to be 11 till 7 on the Wednesday, and Pirates of the Caribbean is 1 hour short of 24 hours with 6 a.m. Wednesday to 5 a.m. Thursday. Space Mountain goes from 6 a.m. until 4 a.m. on the Thursday. It goes to Splash Mountain is 6 a.m. till 4 a.m. on the Thursday. Tom Sawyer Island is limited 10 a.m. to 5:30 Wednesday, and the Walt Disney World Railroad is 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday. Now, the following attractions will close between the following hours. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spins closing from 1:30 to 4 a.m. on Thursday. Mad Tea Party 12 till 3 in the morning on Thursday. Peter Pan 2 till 4 a.m. Thursday. And Snow White Scary Adventure 1 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. Thursday. Now, there's a huge, huge list of things that are going to be going on, entertainments and shows. I don't plan to read them all the times out. You can go over to DisneyBrit.com and check them out. out. But this is what is happening. There's a welcome show at 10 to 6. And there's the Main Street Trolley Show, The Magic of Memories and You, which strangely is happening three times in the evening and at 5:30 a.m. on the Thursday as well, which is quite cool. Wishes, Main Street Electrical Parade, the Celebrate Dream Come True Parade, Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It, Dream Along with Mickey, the Adventureland Fairies Meet and Greet, which they're doing pretty much the whole 24 hours. That's going to be a long stint. You've got Aladdin, you've got Tangle Play and Greet, you've got Alice in Wonderland, Pooh, Woody and Jessie. Donald Duck is doing half a shift between 6 a.m. and 2:35 p.m. Lazy. Princess and the Frog Meet and Greet. Town Square's Theatre Princesses are going to be there. Mickey Mouse. And the Frontierland Hoedown, which is the one I'd definitely go and do at either 2:45 a.m, 3:30 a.m, or 4:30 a.m. on the Thursday. This is randomly in the middle of the night. And then just in case you're struggling to keep awake, you can head over to the Castle Hub and stand by a large speaker between 1 a.m. and 5:30 a.m. because they've got a DJ who's going to be blasting very loud music just to keep people going. Do you know what? I'd love to see how much they spend on caffeine and people spend on coffee during those 24 hours. I know Nick says he's thinking about doing it, didn't he? And he's basically just going to drink lots of coffee and just keep going. That's basically, I think, his idea. There is loads of merchandise going to be on sale as well. There's going to be ear hats. There's going to be watches. There's going to be all those different bits and pieces, which should be expensive, I would guess, but they're also going to be available online at disneystore.com/onemorediSneyDay. And I don't know if they've got them online yet. They did have a load of stuff online, and they have put a few bits up, but nothing really exciting yet. But that'll be coming up over the next few days, okay? Right, so there we go.
I would do an hour pin.
An hour pin?
So
what, each
29th
hour?
Of Feb, and then a different hour on the pin. And the limited edition, and you see how many you can collect if you're there, and you only come on sale that hour.
That's a good idea, and they're only on sale for that hour.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Or I wonder whether they're going to do a Vinylmation and they've just not announced it.
Well, by the way, we won't find out, will we?
No, that's true.
Not after the survey.
It's not going to be coming here, is it? But there you go. Yeah, it'll be after the survey. Where you would have you been interested in hearing about anything that came out the 29th? Yes or no? Too late now, isn't it? Okay. That's what's happening on that day anyway. Let's move on then. We've got talking about pins, beautifully led in. Well done, Juzzy. Kez?
The Disney store online, they have their own park shop where you can buy exclusive online pins. And they are doing various... It's kind of aimed at new collectors and traders to the pin phenomenon. They've got this really lovely...
I was thinking that.
You should have done it.
They have this really lovely starter set which compares attractions from Magic Kingdom and the Florida parks and Disneyland and the California parks, including the castles, the Matterhorn and Everest, the two Tower of Terrors and the Haunted Mansions. And they look pretty cool. I love the there's a Pluto Tower of Terror one that looks pretty cool. There's also a mystery box pin, so it's like blind box, like the Vinylmation thing we were talking about last week.
I won't get that either then. Sorry.
And you get two pins randomly selected in these boxes, and they are based around Disney characters on the attractions like Jungle Cruise, Soarin', Splash Mountain, and there's another set coming right at the end of the year. Oh, sorry, they're going to be released throughout the year. And at the end of the year, if you put them all together, it forms a little section of Main Street with all the characters doing various activities, which looks very, very cool. But, yes, only available online through their parks shop.
That sounds good. Cool. Okay, there you go, pins. I've still not got into pins. I still don't understand pins. Vinylmation is me.
See, I was into pins, but now Vinylmation has taken over my life.
Vinylmation is like you've turned to the dark side.
I have. Mouse meets as well, so danger.
That is true, yeah. That's definitely true with Vinylmation trading. It's going to be very, very dangerous. Well, let's head back into the parks then. Over to the Magic Kingdom and Fantasyland, Juz.
I'd like to split this into two bits as well.
I'd like
to split this in the bit for kids, people with kids, and then the bit for people with no kids.
Okay.
Or older kids. So people with kids, young kids, woohoo, it is finally here. The thing we've all been waiting for, the new Fantasyland expansion is starting to open up by the end of late March, which when you think about it is only 4 weeks away, or if you use Adam timing, less than 4 weeks away now. So yeah, the largest expansion in Magic Kingdom park history, which isn't right, when they first built it, probably that was the largest expansion anyway.
Well, that wasn't an expansion though, was it? That
was it was an expansion of Marshland.
Please explain.
Because it's Marshland, they expanded it.
They didn't expand the Marshland, they built upon it.
They demolished it.
No, they actually moved it from underneath to on top. They made a lake and they made a mountain.
Yeah, but they moved...
So therefore, an expansion. If you've got Marshland going up, which is what happened, that's an expansion of Marshland.
Yeah, there's a lot of people listening to this now going, shut up, go on the news.
No, they're saying that to you. They're going, oh, Jess, you're so wise. Anyway, one of the first things to open will be Dumbo and the flying elephanty thing, and Barnstorm, which is now called the Great Goofini.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. You won't even recognise it. They've got a new sign.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The Great Goofini's got a bit of decoration.
If you go to DisneyBrit.com, which I wouldn't recommend anyway, if you have nothing to do and your filters aren't going to pick you up at work for poor quality website, go to DisneyBrit.com and check out the artwork for Great Goofini, because I'm going to give Disney massive kudos and credit here. They've actually drawn in a queue. So I looked at it first and thought there's no queue here, but you actually just past the entrance sign, they've put loads of shadows to show you that this is always going to be a massive queue.
Okay.
In the baking hot sun. That's opening up, and the train station is opening up, Fantasyland's train station. So this is the start of this great massive expansion, which starts at the end of March, and we shall see things starting to happen and push onwards and onwards and onwards and onwards throughout this year. So it's really quite exciting, and I think a lot of people have been desperate to wait to see it, and I think a lot of people are like, woo-hoo.
Yes.
From an adult side, from my side, with grown-up kids, this is the report on it. Yeah. Okay, finished.
Right, there we go. Lovely. So, kids, yeah, adults, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to look awesome. Even even not going on to any attractions or anything, just walking around that area.
Just be hit in the ankle by prams and push chairs. Can't wait. Squealing kids.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kez,
I'm looking forward to the mermaid one.
Yeah, you're just Princess Mad anyway, aren't you? So, I reckon you should go in your mermaid costume and then halfway around the attraction jump off and lie there and see how long you can get away.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Before you realise it's the wrong person.
Disney Brit undercover.
Disney Brit undercover, Disney Brit banned from parks forever. Yeah, actually, maybe not. Let's not do that. That's not a good idea. Okay, talking about attractions, as we have been doing, I have no real great link. I was trying to think of something really clever and I can't do it. Disco Yeti. Oh, we love Disco Yeti. If you've never heard the Disco Yeti song, you must find it on YouTube. It is brilliant, right? The Disco Yeti song is cracking. It's very, very funny.
Hello, hello, baby, sorry I can't move a thing. I haven't been serviced in a while, you say. But it's okay, there's a flashing light on me. Sorry if you wanted more, it's only Disney. It's only Disney, it's only Disney. What more than a stroke would you expect at Disney? Disco Yeti is my name, this mountain's where I stay. I used to be ferocious, now I'm just a display. They said they had some plans for me, they put me on TV. Then hung me on the wall like Mickey's hunting trophy. Stop moving, not proving Disney's expertise anymore. Imagineers, build what engineers ignore. Bob Iger's got tigers, rhinos, and giraffes by the score. So what's he need working if it could be sport? Disco Yeti, come fix me. I'm so sick of cases.
But they've sort of like, well, Yeti's not worked properly for years and years and years. And there's rumours now that this could be because Disney are creating a mysterious new movie, currently known as the Untitled Disney Mountain Adventure Film, of which is going to be, well, originally it was going to be centred around the Matterhorn, and now there's rumours that they're not going to centre it around that. They could centre it around Expedition Everest. And to tie in with the new Everest movie, they may be thinking about refurbing the Yeti good and proper, making it look totally awesome.
Good and amazing. Proper.
Well, actually getting it to work, because at the minute he just...
Sorry, you sort of went a bit southern then, mate. I thought it was like Dunks talking then. Good and proper, that.
But hopefully they will do something with it so that it means that finally we'll have the Yeti working in the way that it should be. Because when that Yeti moves, it is awesome. I still remember the first time I rode it and just seeing his arm swooping down. Looked amazing, but unfortunately, you know, it's not worked for a very, very long time because it is so complicated. But there's rumour that it could be coming back in time for this movie. Kez did put a post up on the website which had building a thrill ride video that she found from Discovery Channel that shows you it in full working order. So hopefully it will. Now, it certainly won't be the first time that Disney will sort of tie in an attraction with a movie. We had Countdown to Extinction that turned to Dinosaur, and we've also had Jack Sparrow and Barbossa added to Pirates as well. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility. Whether or not this is someone's far-fetched, rumoured imagination, I don't know, but we're looking at certain rumours. Jez, do you think a movie franchise, a movie tie-in's finally going to make it, you know, up to the standard that we expect it to be?
Well, I don't know. No, I think that's just a poor excuse, isn't it? I think it's an awesome ride. They just need to get sorted, and they're sort of like, it's like a lot of things we all do. We all build stuff or do stuff, and then we get bored of it and walk away onto the next thing. That's exactly what's happened here. There's too much else going on. You have to wait for things to calm down sometimes for people to then look back and go, well, let's do a bit more with that.
That is true. You look at some of the rumoured sort of refurbs and changes and things we're looking at. How many years have we been talking about them changing Journey into Imagination? And it seems like it's been pushed back again and again and again as something else comes up and happens. And you know, we've obviously got Avatar, the Avatar Land in Animal Kingdom coming, of which, by the way, I'm really not looking forward to, because I have finally watched half of the film. And went, this is trash. I really did not like it. I watched half of it and had to switch it off.
Well, that's because you're not profound enough to watch it then.
It looks stunning. It looked absolutely amazing. You know, we watched it in HD. It looked fabulous. But I was watching it going, where's the story in this? This is actually quite shocking.
So the whole point of it replicating what we're doing to our planet didn't come across to you at all?
Well, but it's not a storyline. It's more like a particle political broadcast, isn't it?
A partly political broadcast.
Party political broadcast. I didn't like it at all, and it's not going to make me want to rush it.
I'm sure, you know, but I'm sure a good rom-com then came up in your head.
No, I will watch the other half eventually, maybe in 5-minute bursts. Before I get annoyed and have to switch it off. It just made me angry because I just didn't like it at all.
I'm really surprised that you're quite precocious, and I thought that would have been right up your street. And it had trees in it.
I quite like films, you know, and I will watch a lot of movies, but that one, sorry. And I know, again, I'm going to have people emailing me and shouting at me now, but I just did not get it. Sorry, I just didn't get it. But talking about one thing I do get, and that is Vinylmation. Yes.
Well, there are some fantastic Vinylmations coming to the Disney shop for the 25th anniversary. However, if they're going to stay very long at our shop, we don't know yet. But these are really cool. They have special light-up bases that you can put underneath them. But the kind of catch there is the only way you can get that light-up base is if you buy the very epic-looking Sorcerer Mickey one. So if you wanted to light up all your Vinylmation, you're kind of going to have to buy loads of these Mickey Sorcery ones. But I'm not so sure on the design of all of them, I have to say. I quite like the Mickey and the Minnie ones, but Pinocchio looks slightly odd, as does Dumbo, so they don't really work. And don't think there's any news on what the Chaser is yet for this one.
No, it's the 25th anniversary set, isn't it? Which has just been delayed in the US, we believe. But we have had confirmation. I can confirm 100% that they are definitely coming to the UK.
But we don't know in what numbers.
We don't know what numbers or when or where, or if you get given a clue and you have to go hunting for them. We have no idea. But they are definitely coming. Now, Joseph, if you had a chance to look at these?
Can I pretend and say yes? Or shall I be honest and say no?
OK, you can say no, that's fine. I really don't like them.
Is it on your side?
Yes. So you probably haven't looked at them now. I really don't like them very much at all. I don't mind the Buzz, the Goofy's all right, the Mickey's horrible, the Minnie's horrible. We've got another Tinkerbell, which is that third.
She looks really, really bizarre.
She looks proper like she's eating cake. In my words, Tinkerbell looks like she's been to the Celebration Pie Festival and definitely gone Unlimited.
Bambi looks like that as well, unfortunately.
Bambi does, yeah. Bambi looks like he could be shot and then shot and then eaten and stuffed and had it at some sort of big medieval banquet. No, I'm not a fan. I don't mind the Sorcerer Mickey. I quite like
Sorcerer
that.
Mickey looks cool.
But most of them, I'm not a fan at all. Which is a shame, because their 25th anniversary, and I thought they'd be really cool. But, you know, especially if we compare them to Tunes that we've now got. Mm. I really like the Tunes ones. I really, really like the Goofy one. He's awesome. But for me, I'm not so much of a fan of the 25th. But it's unfortunate, because actually I wonder whether they'll sell as well, because they're not maybe not going to be as popular. I don't know. Might be a lot of people who really, really like them. But have you had a chance to look at them now, Joss?
Can't find it.
You can't find it?
No. Oh, hang on.
So you got it now?
No, or something else.
Okay, you can't find it.
Put it in Skype.
I have, I'll put it in Skype for you. There you go.
Keep talking then, and I'll pretend talking. Like him.
And just going to... I'd be interested to hear your first impression, because you haven't seen them. So as soon as you see them, what you think of them? Looking now. Don't make me bring the Jeopardy music back again. Oh, you found them?
Oh, yeah.
No, what do you think?
They're a cack.
Yeah, there we go. And that is the official word on Final Mation. Right, moving on. And we're moving on to Juz.
Have they ever got ears? Or have they got ears?
Yeah, they've got ears.
See-through ears, most of them.
Oh, no. They're trash. It looks like me. Your little one's painted them. While he's been, had his, you know, been blindfolded.
But don't you think, we're saying, doesn't it look like Tinkerbell's been to the Pie Festival at Celebration?
They are just cartoony rubbish, aren't they?
I don't like them. They're almost.
That is that Tinkerbell? Or is that Barbara Windsor?
Barbara Windsor in a Tinkerbell outfit. I love that.
She's curvaceous.
Right, anyway.
How are you doing?
Before we manage to upset anybody else, let's move over to Disneyland Paris, jumping on a plane, flying all the way over there, because there's been some more information about Disneyland Paris's Disney Dreams.
I'm not going to read all of this out, because it's a massive...
No, you don't have to read all of it out. That's
fine. Do you mind? It's my bit.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I'm going to read all this out. No, it's a massive press release. I'm not going to read it all out, but it is actually, you need to go across to disneybit.com, and it's quite an interesting read anyway. What they're saying is about Disney Dreams, by the way, this isn't Disney Dreams, so it's not a boat, so just in case you don't know that boat, it's not a boat, it's fireworky stuff. It's a nighttime spectacular. As all things are, to be fair with you, it does sound really cool. What they're doing is... we've actually got a really cool picture down there, haven't you?
Yeah, some really.
We have. Besides which, the landscaping at DLP is probably the best landscaping of any sort of Magic Kingdom as such. It's amazing. I love square trees, and I don't know why.
Well, that's
I saw square trees, and I thought, these are cool.
That's Sleeping Beauty from the artwork.
See, I didn't know that beforehand when I went there. And but even so, square trees. Gee. It's not the way God intended them. Anyway, so basically, there's actually tons. They've got water screens going up. They've actually got some really big pumps to actually push the water up. I love the press release, because it doesn't actually say... See, if you're going to do this as a press release, what you go is, we've installed these massive pumps, and we can shoot air 35 metres in the air.
Mm.
Now, somewhere in this press release, it goes, yes, the water can go really high.
It does, actually. That's very true. It doesn't tell you specifically.
It doesn't, you know... Oh, yes, that's right. It goes, some of these fountains are powerful enough that jets of water can climb many metres high. You'd go, you know, it's 30 metres or 10. Why just go many metres? And what someone should have gone was, you don't know, do you? You'd have gone, no. But it was really high, like the Trafford Centre. And it's going to be, it's going to have the screen's projection. You know, the projection on the castle with characters doing stuff. I think this is the best show that if they pull it off and it's there and everything, and I like the look of it, I think this could be one of the best shows that Disney put on at night time.
Well, it sounds like it's taken the best elements from World of Colour, the best bits from sort of like almost Fantasmic and all those.
And it's got a nicer backdrop. Exactly. The landscape in there is amazing. To add this to it, I think this could be one of the rest, what the rest of the world look at and go, wow.
And I will put my money down now and say this will last longer than the 20th anniversary.
I hope so.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Don't think they're going to do it for a year and then get rid of it. I think it's quite a crowd puller.
There's only one thing they're missing, if I'm right saying.
Hmm?
The castle needs to be painted pink, really.
It is pink. Well,
with bows on it, candles and really...
Oh, that pink, no.
Yeah.
No. Do not even think about putting a psychedelic castle in Disneyland Paris. There'll be people there pulling it down.
I wouldn't surprise if they look at this and go, let's move it to elsewhere. I think this just has a nice combination of them.
There is rumours also of them painting parts of Main Street gold for the 20th anniversary as well.
I think that would look nice.
That'd be cool. I don't know how true that is, but some of the pillars and things like that.
It's a lovely Main Street.
It is. Mm. It is a really nice Main Street. It's lovely, 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 and that's what we like to hear. Well, talking about celebrations, Disneyland Paris is celebrating the 20th anniversary in France, and in the UK, Disney are helping to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee. Because, and Kez found this piece of news, and I completely missed it, and now I've seen it, I was so excited. I was like, yeah, I want to go, even though it's for kids. But it's the Jubilee Family Festival, which each day will have a finale of a 70-minute Disney concert that's going to use Disney songs and characters and all those things. It's obviously going to be a big concert, because they're selling 50,000 tickets per day to this event. So not only will Disney have this amazing concert that's going to be happening, but also they're going to have a particular Disney area, and the Mike Stagg, who's the General Manager of Retail for the Walt Disney Company in the UK and Ireland, has said, Disney is delighted to play such an important role in what promises to be a fantastic event. In addition to hosting a Disney area in the main festival, we will be staging a finale concert featuring some of the most beloved Disney music and characters, which is sure to enchant the whole family. Now, the Disney Zone is also going to feature life-size Lightning McQueen, Mater, and Finn McMissile. There's going to be loads of other elements to it as well. There will obviously be other Disney, non-Disney related activities. There's going to be all sorts of interactive shows for kids, including people like Bob the Builder and Thomas the Tank Engine and Fireman Sam and Angelina Ballerina, all those sort of things. But if you are wanting to go to the event, you can buy tickets now. The price, £20 for adults, children 16 and under 12.50, family of two adults, two children is £52, and that includes booking fees and postage and all that sort of stuff. Go to disneybrit.com, you can find a link to the press release and also the place to buy it now. What do you think? Does this sound cool? This sounds awesome to me. Which is a family thing. I suppose it's a bit too young for your kids.
It is a bit young, really, but it sounds really cool.
I really want to be going to this. I really want to be heading over there. And I really want us to try and get as much coverage as we can with Disney Brit as well. So hopefully we'll be there and we'll be able to bring it all to you live. Mm. Kez, you're close to London. I know you haven't got any kids.
I'm going. Because it's not just an event for children. There's a lot of other things going on. There's a couple of other separate stages, because it was my dad that actually found this.
Right.
It was advertised in the Evening Standard. And there's people like musical theatre stars. There's one called Ramin Karimloo, and he's performing there.
Aren't you obsessed with him?
Just a little bit. And so that's another good reason for going. And I know a lot of the Disney Brit fans are also Ramin fans, so it's all good. But yeah, I will definitely be there.
Okay, so you're going to be there, and I will hopefully be there. I really want to get down for this, because this does look like it's going to be awesome. You know, Thomas Tank Engine there, cool. I sick to death of Thomas Tank Engine. But that's coming up as well, so that's really awesome. So hopefully there'll be some people there. And if we've got a good group of Disney fans who are all going together, maybe we could all meet up and say hello. We could have a Disney Brit meet in the Disney area of this Jubilee event. If you are going and you are thinking about it, we'll organise a Disney Brit meet. That would be cool for everybody to get together and say hello to each other in the Disney area. That'd be awesome. Right, that is all of our Disney news and rumours. Let's move on to the next part of the show.
Woohoo!
Hi everyone, this is Craig Duncan. Please come and join me for my soul show every Sunday at 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll only find me on Orlando Sky Radio. Come by and say hi.
Hello.
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 Yeah.
Is this the red telephone box in the UK Pavilion in Epcot?
Yeah.
And you've picked up the phone. Hello, I'm calling from the UK. This is the Disney Brit podcast, and we like to ring the red phone boxes in the UK and say hello to anybody who picks up. I know it sounds very strange. I know it's very weird. Sorry, what's your name?
Bruce.
Hello, Bruce. And are you there on a family vacation?
Yeah.
You are. You sound very confused. I promise you, it's all completely fine. Are you a marathon runner? Have you been there for the Princess Marathon?
What? Oh, the marathon that's going on?
Did you run?
No, we didn't do that.
No, I don't blame you.
That requires exercise.
It does require a lot of exercise, and I am completely with you. Don't do running. It's very bad for your health. And you're in Epcot. Have you been there all day?
Yeah, pretty much, except the monorail broke down.
Oh, no. What happened to the monorail?
I don't know.
Oh, someone broke
it. Maintenance. Hold on. Talk to him. Hello.
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 Okay.
Hello. This probably sounds very strange, but I'm calling from the UK. Hello.
Okay, sweet.
And we're calling from the Disney Brit podcast, and we're ringing just to say hello to anybody who picks up the phone. So, hello.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, I've got somebody else. Wow, how many people are lined up for the telephone box?
For the telephone?
Yeah, how many people are there?
Three.
Three, and you're all there together?
Yeah, we're here together.
That's cool. Sorry, I'm ringing from the UK. I've just explained to everybody else. I'm from the Disney Brit podcast, and we just ring the phone box just to see who picks up and say hello to everyone.
Okay.
Because we can do that. And how is Epcot today? Is it warm? Is it sunny? Is it busy?
It's kind of overcast.
Oh, it's not going to rain, though, is it?
Well, it rained this morning, but it's just a little windy.
Excellent. That's good news. And are you staying for Illuminations?
Pardon?
Are you staying for Illuminations?
Are we staying for Illumination? No.
No. Oh, okay.
Is that 9 o'clock?
Have you seen it before?
Okay.
Have you seen it before?
I'll just see. Have I seen it before or no?
Oh, it's amazing. You have to stay if you've not seen it. Or you have to come back. It is genuinely amazing.
Hey,
Hey.
We're here with the Granger Group.
Okay.
And they have the park, the Universal Adventure Island.
Yeah?
They have that rented after hours.
Right.
Where's that at?
Okay, that's so you're going to Island of Adventure.
Yeah, Universal Adventure Island.
I know the ones.
Where's that at?
That's not on Disney property. You've got to go up the I-4. You've got to go up to Universal Studios.
Is it owned by Disney, though?
No, it's not owned by Disney, no.
It's not even owned by Disney?
No, Universal Studios is a completely separate company.
Okay, have you been there?
I have been there. Harry Potter.
The ride there.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter there, is amazing, yes. That's fantastic. And Spider-Man is fantastic. And the Hulk is brilliant.
Oh, they have the Spider-Man and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So how far is it of a bus ride?
Wow, bus ride, it's going to take you a while, especially if you're trying to go. There's no bus that goes from Walt Disney World to Universal.
Well, it's all part of the convention, so they'll...
Oh, in that case, if they're getting you there, I reckon probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the most.
How long?
About 20, 25 minutes, I would think.
Okay. Is it a pretty fun park?
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty fun park. Of course, not as fun as Disney,
it's
I would say that.
It's all paid for. It's after hours.
Well, in that case, you enjoy it. Have a butter beer.
I want you to talk to another guy in our park.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Okay.
From England.
Hello? Wow, I'm loving that I'm getting to talk to so many people. This is fantastic. How are you all?
I'm getting my picture taken while I'm on the phone.
Brilliant. I love the fact that we're making somebody's vacation that bit more special by talking to somebody from England while on the phone. That's fantastic.
There you go.
Who am I talking to now?
My name's Donovan.
Hello, Donovan. Are you going to Universal Studios as well?
What's that?
Are you off to Universal Studios as well?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you lot get on with whatever else you've got to do in Epcot.
Okay, have a good day.
Okay, speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Just make believe. Tiny little seed, a tiny little seed that's reaching up to meet your need with the right amount of faith.
It is time to a return on our adventure around Walt Disney World as we bring back Around the World in 80 segments, and we are still in Epcot, and today we're going to be taking a look at the Land Pavilion, which is on Future World West. We've sort of done most of, well, pretty much all of Future World East. We're moving over to Future World West. We've just walked past what used to be the Wonderful Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is just now an empty space, which has a large snake in it and many other strange Disney characters. That's a Kingdom Keepers reference for anybody who doesn't read it. But let's talk about the Land Pavilion. We've all been to it. We all know it. 6 acres it is, about 2.5 million square feet. Opened October 1st, 1982 with the park. And basically, it's designed to talk about human interaction with the land. It looks at how we treat the land, about the way we can grow things with the land and all those sort of elements. And brings all of that together under this one big building. And it's had a few phases it's gone through. We want to share with you very, very quickly these different phases. So phase one was sort of craft food, because obviously there's a lot to do with food and those sort of elements within it. They sponsored it for pretty much 10 years, and they sort of financed the day-to-day running of the attractions, the restaurants, the shops, all those sort of elements as well. And they were decorated with these earthy tones and all these exotic plants. I always find that when I go in, it's always sort of like quite cold in there compared to outside. You always find those windows are pretty much steamed up as you walk in as well. Phase 2, 1993, had its first sort of major refurb to the Land Pavilion, where they sort of modernised it along with some of the Epcot Centre stuff. Craft disappeared, the interior got a new look. Listen to the Land changed to Living with the Land in 93, and then Kitchen Cabaret replaced... Food Rock, sorry, replaced Kitchen Cabaret in 94. That was a great ride. And then Symbiosis closed and reopened as a Circle of Life and Environmental Fable in 95. Then, Phase 3 in 2003, Nestlé renewed their sponsorship, and they wanted to basically oversee the refurbishment of the interior and the exterior. We had a new colour scheme, we had a walkway and stroller parking. The stroller parking is just on a hill, so put your brake on. The food court was fully redesigned, and we had Sunshine Seasons, which I still think is one of the best places to go for breakfast. All the signage was updated. We said goodbye to Food Rocks, which I was kind of sad about to see Food Rocks go, but was replaced by Soarin', so I can't be too sad. Then 2009, Nestlé pulled out of the sponsors of that particular pavilion, and then it left nobody sponsoring it until July 2011, when Chiquita took over as sponsors. So, there's some of the elements. But we have some of the current attractions are in there. We're going to go through some of those current attractions with you, as we always have done. So, we're starting with Living with the Land, which, Juz, do you want to kind of explain what Living with the Land is all about, what it is?
No idea. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Okay.
Never heard of it. It's a very high-speed roller coaster. That no little kid should go on. It's a really, really slow boat ride that takes you through different scenes of the earth and the environment, and dogs barking and little trees in the background and cornfields, where Tracy falls asleep, and I really like.
Yeah.
And then we go and see Mickey Fruit.
What is it about this attraction that actually... It's really quite not great and a bit dull in places. But yeah, we go on it and it's like, it's awesome because you get to go through greenhouses and you get to see fish farms and all this stuff that normally if someone said, should we go to the fish farm for the day? And you're like, what? But yeah, we get on this boat and suddenly it's amazing.
It's absolutely awesome. And people can chuck things from the restaurant down on top of you.
That's right. Because you were going to say something.
Just that it is awesome as well. I agree.
It is awesome. But there is one change that happened to it, and this is, I think, very sad. We used to have these wonderful live sort of interactive guides that used to be at the front of the boats and used to talk you through it as you went. And I used to love it because you could ask them questions, but they've since replaced them, and we now just get like an audio track, which is a real shame. One of my favourite memories of this attraction was as it was just before a big refurb that it had, and we had those live narrators still in, the water jet system was not particularly at its greatest, and we were on the boat and the boat slowed right down, basically got stuck for a little while, and we couldn't move anywhere, and this poor woman at the front just started making stuff up, just started telling jokes, because we couldn't go anywhere. We were just sat there and stuck for ages. I just remember this poor lady just trying to tell jokes and stuff just to keep it going.
Can I say I prefer the automated track?
Do you? Why?
Yep. I don't know. It reminds me a bit of Spaceship Earth, that sort of surreal, that sort of thing, and I quite like that whole concept.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. And it's more atmospheric.
Well, yeah, it is, and I suppose you get the same
experience.
Because
there's a few parts which are meant to be sort of bring home, and you think, oh, yeah.
You're kind of guaranteed the same experience as well with a track like that. Whereas before it was a little bit Jungle Cruise, whereas depending on the skipper you got, depending on the experience you got. Whereas now it is a little bit better because you...
Do you know, if you had that cool voice and you did that,
yeah,
wouldn't you be tempted to go on the ride sometime and just interrupt or ad-lib?
Or argue with yourself?
Yes.
Things like that. That would be quite cool. I kind of like that. That would be quite funny. That sort of made me laugh. I like that idea. There's sort of several parts. There's two big parts to this attraction. You have the first part, which is more to do with the scenes, and then you go into the larger warehouse area, or the living laboratories, or they call it. You go through rainforests in the middle of a thunderstorm, and then the boat goes through to some areas of desert and the American prairie, and then there's sort of sound and lighting effects, heat, wind, mist, all of those things. And then basically the boat goes into a little theatre that's playing loads of videos and all over the place that's sort of to do with the relationship between human and the environment. Then you go into the living laboratory, and this is, I think, the coolest bit. And it's split into four, five.
Say laboratory or lavatory?
Laboratory.
Do not want to go to a living,
living
laboratory.
Living laboratory. No, don't go to that one. That's inside the new House of Interventions. You don't want to go into that. Where you get to go through sort of the tropical greenhouse, where they're growing all these crops that are designed for tropical climates. You've then got the aqua cell, where they have sort of sustainable fishing and elements like that, and some of those fish do get served up at the Coral Reef restaurant in Nemo and Friends Pavilion. You've got the temperate greenhouse, which is to do with like desert growing and elements like that, where they did have the famous 9-pound lemon. It is huge. They have the string greenhouse, and this is sort of, they use high density techniques to grow things vertically. And they've been growing all sorts of things in there. I think they've got some Guinness Book of Records, haven't they, in there as well?
Tomatoes,
that's right.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that's also the home of the Mickey Mouse pumpkins, which are basically, they grow the pumpkins inside a mould, and they serve those up in the garden grill. And see, Sunshine Season's not obviously in the shape of a Mickey Mouse pumpkin, but they are quite cool. You've then got the creative greenhouse, and then you've got two labs. You've got the biotechnical and the integrated pest management labs. And then right at the very end, you've got like a collage of people farming around the world and doing nice things and all living happily with the earth and stuff.
Taking money from the EU.
Yeah, and messing out outside, Jane. We can't afford to farm anymore. And all those sort of things. Guests within children can take it in turns. There is a rider swap with this. No flash photography is allowed. You can... use translation devices and get from guest relations, but you must transfer from a motorised scooter or ECV to an available wheelchair. Fastpass service is available for this attraction. That always kind of makes me giggle that we haven't got a Fastpass service for some of the bigger attractions, but this one has.
I've often had, I say this, I don't know if it so happens,
yeah,
I have had Fastpass for there about three times when I've got a soaring ticket.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's quite often for me pushed out the equivalent ones for Living with the Land.
That's interesting.
Which at an earlier time, by the way, I can go straight to that, and it's been quite cool. Man. But that happened to me about three times.
Try that. Give it a try if you next go. Let us know. There is also handheld captioning devices that you can use as well. We're not going to go too much of the history, but we had Listen to the Land, which originally was in there, and they had the Listen to the Land, we all love that one, song that was in there as well. But we need to rate it. Well, first off, suitable for babies?
Yeah.
Toddlers? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Juniors?
Yeah.
Tweens?
Yeah.
Teens? Suitable for teens, but they're going to get... like proper bored. And then adults, yes, because we're quite old and geeky and we love it. How many out of five are you giving this, Kez?
Four.
Juz?
Do you know, I'm going to go for a five.
Ooh.
Because it's one of these stupid rides that just reminds me about what Disney was all about.
Okay.
Like Spaceship Earth. It brings a lot of that home to me. And it's something I look back and it always, silly things like music or whatever conjures up in your head, you think that's what a ride should be.
I must admit, it is sort of one of the perfect sort of examples of edutainment that what was on about in the parks. But I think I'm going to go with Kaz and go for a four. I don't.
You ain't going with Kaz. You're in the film.
So, yeah, I'm going to go for a four, I think. Right, moving on. Let's head down the escalator. No, we're already down the escalator. Let's head across from the escalator into the newer area of the pavilion, and we're heading over to Soarin', that opened May the 5th, 2005.
I'll be right behind you, just eating something.
Kez, do you want to explain a little bit about what this is?
Yeah, it's basically a simulated high hang glider tripped over California. It takes about just under 5 minutes, and you get to see amazing sites like San Francisco, Napa Valley, the PGA West Golf Course, and it finishes over Disneyland at Christmas, which is absolutely beautiful. It was a ride that was in development since 1996, where they were going to have an attraction in California called Ultra Flight. But the loading system was going to be on three levels as opposed to the one level that Soarin has. And they're saying, oh, it's too expensive. Until a different ride system was developed by Mark Sumner, who used a Erector set, which is like Meccano, to...
Be careful how you say that.
See, I knew that would be a trouble when I researched.
To be honest, I was Googling that. I thought, at this moment, and by age, that could be handy. Me and Pally, I'll order one for both of us.
And basically, he made the ride system to demonstrate to the executives like how it would work, and they're like, oh yes, that's much more cost effective. So then in 2001, it came into Disney's California Adventure.
Cool.
And then they pulled it over to Epcot in 2005. And it utilises some really amazing technologies, including... scent technologies, because I did a project actually at uni. It's a bit boring, I know, but to do with how scent is the most powerful sense that we have to evoke emotions. Mm. So, it, and it's this was actually featured
with a lavatory.
There you go. And I actually featured Soarin' in my dissertation.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, why not? There's no reason why. Can I just say, right? And this is you can disagree. I think Soarin' has possibly the best pre-show video of any attraction in
Washington. I love that.
It's Patrick Warburton.
Exactly.
Yeah, he is brilliant. He is so good.
That's the problem with that. Is he? Every one of my favourite shows is Wolves Engagement, and every week he reminds me of Soarin'.
Yeah. See, and we love Family Guy, and he's obviously the voice of Joe in Family Guy, so every time that we
and the voice
see
of
the video. Yep.
As well.
And it's got the best voice in the world.
When he does that bit with the guy with the Mickey ears.
That is genius.
I love it. I just love the pre-show bit of that. That and a kind of Muppets and maybe Test Track, I think, are my probably top three. We should do a segment on best pre-show videos. Filmed in IMAX HD, 48 frames per second, so it's double what it normally is. And on the size of the screen that we actually get, I'm not surprised, because it is that dome screen that when you go up right into that particular screen, you can see everything. Unless you really, really try hard to look, you really can't see the edge of the images of the screen. The sort of things that you're going to see on there: Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco, the Redwood Creek, Napa Valley, Monterey, Lake Tahoe, Yosemite National Park, Camarillo, Anaza, Borrego, Desert State Park, San Diego, Malibu, and Los Angeles. And there's a great hidden Mickey in this. Anyone know where it is?
Golf ball.
Yeah, the golf ball, which I think we actually have got somewhere. I was on it with Craig, and he managed to get a photo.
Craig
of,
did it, yeah.
He managed to get a photo of the hidden Mickey on the ball, and I was sat next to him. And basically, he didn't watch any of the ride. He just had the camera the whole time. Yeah, I'm going to get the photo. I'm going to get the photo. Fast pass is available for this. Again, you must transfer from a wheelchair, motorized scooter, or ECV. Motion sickness is a problem, and video captioning is also available now. Fast pass for this, and this is one of the two attractions in Epcot, I suggest you definitely get your fast pass for ASAP. Anyone else disagree or agree with that?
No, oh, definitely.
Oh, always first thing in the morning, fast. I go across there on my own to get fast pass for that.
Well, you send everybody else a test track.
Yeah.
Yep, I know the one. So that's always what we do. But I have genuinely seen Disney have to switch off the escalator down to Soarin', because the queue for Soarin' is from the entrance all the way through the queue line, but it also goes all the way up the escalator and back to the main doors.
You see, to me, that'd be better. And if you got to the bottom of the escalator and your queue's not moved, you've got to go all the way back off the top of the escalator and try again.
Keep walking around. I like that idea. That's quite funny. But, it is, seriously. I think when it first opened, we saw something like 5-hour queues for this. people wanting to ride it, which was just craziness. I remember I was really lucky to go on this attraction before it even opened to the public. They were doing some testing, and there was a random queue outside the Imagination Pavilion, and I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to join this queue. I don't know what it's doing here or where it's going, but I'll join it anyway. And we got to go through, and with no wait whatsoever, really. That was cool, because also the cast members in their soaring outfits were doing Disney trivia with people, but like proper Disney trivia. We're not talking about what colour stripes does Tigger have. We're talking about serious, like, where is Walt Disney buried and all that sort of stuff. That was cool.
It's not, it's in my freezer.
Well, there is that as well. But just to sort of explain a little bit behind how this all works, the idea is that the queue system takes you through sort of airport loading areas and airport lounges, and the crew are obviously dressed in sort of what a sort of flight crew, that sort of idea. The guests board flight 5505, which is basically a sort of homage to the date that the attraction opened. But as we've said, you know, get those fast passes. Do not decide to queue for 5 hours, because, you know, if there's a fast pass there, there's no point in doing it. Jerry Goldsmith did write the music for it as well, and it is one of those pieces of music that, how many times you hear it, it's kind of like Illuminations for you, Jers. When I hear it, the emotion it evokes is amazing. Because you and your Illumination stuff. But I love it. It is absolutely brilliant. So what are we giving this? Well, firstly, we need to decide who it's suitable for. Definitely not babies. Toddlers, probably not. Juniors, you'd be all right as long as they're tall enough, I think. Tweens, yes. Yep. Adults, yes. Seniors, yes. Just be aware that if you're an adult and you're small, and I am talking about my wife here, you might have to put your seatbelt through a loop.
Yeah, my mum does that.
It's really funny. I was like, yeah, you might actually need to use the loop for this one. Just hook that through, that's fine. But certainly, if you've got somebody who is really afraid of, like, roller coasters and things like this, this is the perfect thing to get them on. My dad's terrified of roller coasters, but we get him on this. He absolutely loves it. He went on 2 or 3 times in the last time we took him with us. Right, final attraction in the Land Pavilion.
We didn't rate it.
Oh, we didn't rate it. Well done, Kez. Out of 5.
5.
Juz?
5.
And it's 5 for me as well. We knew that was going to happen, didn't we? I think we need to rate. I think everyone just knew that's what was going to happen. Right, to the Circle of Life. Opened 1995, January the 21st, in fact. It's a video that talks about the damage we're doing to the planet and how we've got to stop doing it and how terrible we all are. And it features Simba, Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King. And Timon and Pumbaa sort of the main characters in the front of this. And it basically goes through montages of clips that were originally used for the Symbiosis film, and then they sort of incorporated all the Simba stuff into it as well, and building up to the idea is that they're building, I think, the Hakuna Matata Lakeside Village, and they're talking about what they're doing to the environment as they build it. Very, very old film now, still kind of entertaining, but what's it include? You've got video captioning there. You can also rent translation devices. You can stay in your wheelchair, not a problem, or your motorized scooter, or your ECV, and there are assistive listening devices available as well. When was the last time any of you went to see this film?
About three trips ago,
a long time ago for you. We did an last but one trip when we took Harry, yes. Always amazes me that they stuck carpet on the walls of the queue area. Do you imagine having to hoover that? And it's looking old, and I'm really surprised. I thought when, you know, Disney started doing all of their Earth stuff and Disney Oceans and all that sort of stuff, that there would be a big overhaul and we'd get that in there, and it never happened. And this is sort of still playing. But I think it's almost past its sell-by date a little bit now, is it not?
I think so.
Jazz, you...
I think we should have, like, a chat with Simba. A bit like Turkle Talk or something like that.
That'll
go well. And that way you could do that environmental-wise, and you get a lot more kids and people involvement in it.
But are we not... We've only got 2 attractions next.
Doesn't matter. You got the technology there. Just whack it in there. It'd be a massive hit. The kids would love to go and chat with Simba. Simba's one of my favourites in Phil and Magic. Yeah. You know, imagine him like that. It'd be awesome. And he could just do a little bit about environment and stuff like that. It'd be a winner.
It's quite a big theatre, and there's quite a big space there. So you could almost, if you decide to do that, put the Simba in, and then you still have space for something else as well.
You could put 2 Simbas in, and that way you've got a throughput. Nice. And that way you've got a nice area together with a bit of everything. At the moment, you just see that people walk past it.
Yes.
Or you warn people, don't go in there.
It's all right. It's not one of those things that I go, oh, I must go and look on my mobile. Look, I can't get my words out. I must go and look on my mobile magic app and see what the queue's like. Oh, I can't do that, can I? What we give it? Well, let's babies. You could take
if they're asleep.
Toddlers. I suppose. Yeah, there's nice pretty animals on the screen. Juniors. I suppose they're looking at that sort of stuff. It's cool. Tweens. Oh no! I think by this point, surely the tweens are like, "A dad, what's this? What's going on here? What's all this about?" Teens are just think you're taking some sort of hippie convention.
Be a riot.
Yeah, there would be a riot. They start stealing television. No, hang on, that's wrong. And adults. Well, I'm kind of loath to say yes to any of them. I just think they should get rid of it. What are you giving it out of five, Jules?
One.
What are you giving it, Kez?
I give it three.
I'm going two. So, not a glowing report for Circle of Life. I think it's had its day. Just one thing to tell you about, which is the backstage Disney stuff, which is those tours that happened. They have something called Behind the Seeds Tour. See what they've done there? Which is a one-hour walking tour that takes you through the greenhouses of Living with the Land. And you get to see all of the stuff that's there, learn how they make it, how it gets to the restaurants, all those sort of things. You also get a more up-close look at alligators and all of the fish and all that sort of stuff that they've got going on there. It's reasonably cheap compared to what the normal tours cost. It's $18 per adult age 10 and up and $14 per child. It is wheelchair accessible. Anybody done Behind the Seeds?
No, always wanted to though.
Jess?
Fancy walking through a greenhouse in the hot weather.
That is true. That is a very good point. But I've not done it either, but I have seen many people look uncomfortable as the boats go past them. Like, almost like they should be animatronics and they should just be waving back. Right, let's very quickly nip through some food before we finish this segment. There's two real food options in this place. You have got Sunshine Seasons, which has four different areas in it. The Asian shop, which does noodles and stir fries. The sandwich shop, which obviously does sandwiches. The soup and salad area. The wood-fired grill shop, which does beef and fish and rotisserie chicken. You've got the bakery, which does your cookies and your ice cream, all those sort of things. And then you've got your breakfast area, which has your pastries. It has loads of combos in there as well, like waffles, all those bits and pieces, and bacon and sausage and you name it. It's all in there. Anybody been in here for food or for breakfast or anything like that?
Yep, we usually eat there when we spend the day at Epcot if we've got, like, a table reservation for the evening. Mm. And I always go to the Asian shop because I have the best sweet and sour. Oh, apart from Yak and Yeti, because that is the ultimate sweet and sour in Disney.
Okay. Juz, do you... Because you quite often go to the parks for breakfast, don't you?
I think Juz has gone.
Oh, Juz has gone and left us. Oh, we'll just carry on without him. That's absolutely fine. One of the things we've often done here is we've... if we've decided we wanted to get breakfast in Epcot, then we would go over to Test Track, ride Test Track, go over to Soarin', pick up a Fast Pass, head to Test Track, ride Test Track, come back, have breakfast in Sunshine Seasons, and then that is about time for when we can go and get on Soarin', as long as we've timed it about right. So that's always worked quite well for us in the past. Garden Grill. Now, Garden Grill is a slightly different, very interesting restaurant. It's sort of a farmhouse style. It's based above Living with the Land, and it's sort of the dark ride section of Living with the Land is in that particular area. And you get characters there. You do get Mickey, and you get Chip and Dale and Pluto in their sort of farmer outfits. But the most unique thing about this place is that it rotates. The entire restaurant rotates, so you get to see different parts of the attraction of Living with the Land as you're going round, and you get to see all of the characters as well. It obviously doesn't rotate very, very fast, but it does rotate. Now, it's only open for dinner, usually. It does open for lunch sometimes, but it's usually not all the time. It's usually open for dinner. It's usually between about 4:30 and 8, although you can reserve it 90 days out with your advanced dinner reservations. It's a Disney dining plan, one table, one credit. And you get things in there like marinated steak, flank steak, turkey with cranberry and orange relish. They have fish in there as well. And a lot of, again, we talk about the vegetables and that sort of stuff come up from the attraction as well. And the kids' menu is your usual mac and cheese, chicken, potatoes, vegetables, all those sort of things. Have you eaten in here?
Yes, I have.
Oh, go on then. Let's have a review, because I've never eaten in this place, so I don't really know.
It was all right. The food is served family style, so they just bring out, like, the whole lot, and you just, like, pick and choose, which is a bit... Because some of it's, like, really good, and some of it was just a bit...
Oh, it's my leg.
Iffy.
Sorry.
And then Dad ended up eating, like, all the stuff that the rest of us weren't eating, so obviously we don't like waste and things, and there's a lot of food. But it was good interaction with the characters. They spend quite a lot of time at the table, and I think we ate about, because we did a lunchtime thing, I think it was about 2:30, so it was a really good time to eat. There was like hardly anyone there, so lots of character attention.
Especially as it's not very big, is it? It's not a huge restaurant.
No, it's not. I'm trying to think, probably about 80 people. I swear that it's on like two levels. There's a middle like section just tiered up from the outside ring, and outside spot some more tables, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But yeah, the veg was really nice, and obviously that comes from the living with the land.
Now,
stuff.
You talk about eating in family style. Have you eaten in Whispering Canyon?
No, I haven't.
Because they do a similar thing. I don't know whether it was comparison in style, because that is like a big platter, and they just bring it out to the middle of the table. And
yeah, the Polynesian do that for the Aloha dinner.
That's right, they do, indeed. Yeah. Well, I ate at Whispering Canyon during the Backstage Magic tour, so what we had might have been slightly different to what you normally get, but it was basically this big skillet just full of ribs and chicken and you name it, and it was just crazy, the amount of food they brought out. But it was wonderful, but it was equally crazy at the same time. So you've eaten there. What would you sort of give this out of 5 then?
Probably about 3. It was good, like the environment was good and the character interaction was good, but some of the food was a bit lacking.
And does it sort of add to it, the fact that you get to see some of the living with the land, or is it just kind of not the same?
It's all right, but you don't get to see that much unless you kind of like walk over to the edge and like look over, which some people were doing. Right. You kind of only see like the top portion of it. You can't really see the boats unless you're right at the edge. But yeah, it's a novel factor, but after you've been round once, you're kind of...
Yeah, you're kind of bored of going. And it's not the most exciting of attractions to look over either. You know, you think about Blue Lagoon in Disneyland Paris, that gets to look over part of Pirates of the Caribbean, which is quite awesome. And the actual setting of that's really nice, and it's quite almost a romantic place to go and eat, which is better than living with the land just rotating around, I suppose, in that sort of way. But they are all of the things, basically, that you can go and enjoy in the land pavilion. And we're going to finish there. I think we're going to do the Seas with Nemo and Friends next time, which is the Seas, which will be really cool. But just quickly, let's just look back at what used to be there. Now, we've already talked about Listen to the Land, and we've talked about Symbiosis. We briefly mentioned Kitchen Cabaret and Food Rocks, which were both awesome. I used to love the pair of them. I remember on my very first trip to Walt Disney World, going to see Kitchen Cabaret and coming out and just thinking it was the most bizarre but wonderful thing I'd ever seen. That opened on the 1st of October 1982. It was 13 minutes long, hosted by Bonnie Appetit. Get it? It was like a musical and comedy act, and you had things like characters such as the Dairy Goods and the Stars in the Milky Way, the Cereal Sisters, Ham and Eggs, Calendar Combo and his Fiesta Fruit, and you can find videos of that. And I think the most famous song from that has got to be Veggie Veggie Fruit.
Definitely.
Veggie Veggie Fruit. In fact, I went to a concert when I was out in Walt Disney World probably 2 years ago now, done by Encore and their orchestra, and they did an Epcot sort of medley, I suppose, and one of the parts of that was Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit played by
amazing.
It's awesome. And then you got Food Rocks that came after that, was 1994, that took over from Kitchen Cabaret. The story was basically to do with a benefit concert hosted by Food Rapper, which is terrible, and it went from all of the meat and dairy things and sort of focused on things about bad food and junk food and about good nutrition and those sort of elements. So it changed slightly, and they changed some of the names of characters, but they sang songs that were well known. That closed 2003, and ready to make way for Soarin'. It was sad to see that go, but it was also at the same time quite good to see Soarin' come as well. Well, have you got anything else you want to add to that? Because we have totally lost Juzzy. He seems to have completely disappeared.
I think we've covered it all, really.
I think we've covered it all as well. I don't know whether he's coming back. We'll find out in a second whether he's going to come back. But I think we've covered it all as well. Right, well, there you go. That is all of the old segments we brought back. It was almost like a retro Disney Brit podcast, but all these things we're going to be keeping in and doing and enjoying as we go over it. And it's just back.
No, definitely not.
Okay. We've just finished. We're just saying that. Have you eaten a garden
grill? Bye. Have I eaten a garden grill?
Yeah.
I got rehitched at Garden Grill.
Explain.
They used to do a rehitching ceremony.
Right.
And hang on. Oh, God. Barely. Just stay there.
Where's he going? What's he gone
quite
to
disturbed
find?
Now.
He's going to find something. Where's he gone?
He's gone down to the
Hello?
Farm.
I'm back. I've just walked across the room.
Okay.
Yeah, significant states.
Right.
To all them that read this here, Mr. and Mrs. Griffiths had one fancy, spiffed up, go to town rehitching ceremony at the Garden Grill hosted by Leslie. Signed by my best man was Mickey, maid of honour was Minnie, and I think the.
Oh, and he's gone again, and we've lost him. Oh, dear. Juz, come back to us. I know he's had some problems with his internet, so that's probably why. I didn't realise they had a rehitching ceremony. I quite like that. It doesn't sound like it was a really expensive one if it's sponsored by Nestle. but I'm sure it was lovely anyway at the Garden Grill getting rehitched. Yeah, it sounds like he really did splash out on that one.
Indeed.
Anyway, we'll leave the show there and we're going to end it there. So thank you once again for all joining us. We want to thank you, thank our sponsors, touringplans.com, for their continued support. You can go over to their touringplans.com. You can find lines, you can find their crowd calendar and also their touring plans as well. Thank you, Kez, for joining me.
No problem.
And thank you, Juz, although you can't hear me. For joining us too.
We still love you.
Yes, come back soon at some point. You can make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions, podcast@disneybrit.com. We really do take them on board, as you can hopefully see from the stuff we brought about this show. Also, make sure you ring our voicemail number 4075 457 980, and you can also make sure that you check out our website, www.disneybrit.com. Check out our Facebook page. Check out our Disney Brit fan page. You can even friend up myself, Juz, and Kez over on Facebook. Don't forget, Mouse Mag is still available. You can go to disneybrit.com, find it there. Go to magcloud.com. You can get your PDF version, download it, and also get it on the MagCloud app. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Go to our YouTube channel and continue to listen to us and Iron Orlando as well. You can go to ironorlando.com, listen to Orlando Sky Radio over there. But that is pretty much it. And it leaves me with nothing else to tell you other than the next edition of the Disney Brit podcast will be available on Wednesday, the 14th of March. So until then, we'll see you.